This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT Tal back on the Fan. We'll have Thomas and Mitroff coming up in about 18 minutes or so. We'll continue with your calls here, talking Pete Alonso, 888-808-1019. And look, I wish there were good vibrations with Pete Alonso and the Mets. I just feel like the damage has been done. We've said it before. I'll be happy, you know, if Pete goes out there and produces for the Mets and they have a big year. It better not, though, BT, impact any kind of pursuit of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. if it is, in fact, if the Mets go get Pete and it's either or. Like, I'm talking about even now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have no Pete and the possibility of adding Vlad now than I would Pete as the, as you said, Band-Aid for the year and then wait till the offseason. No, I'll ride the first few months out if I have to the trade deadline. I want Vlad this year with the Mets more so than Pete.
You know, how much longer are we going to have to look at this Boomer cardboard cutout with this Evan and Tiki L chain saddle around Boomer's neck? You think Boomer's starting to get a little nervous now that this report or this positioning is going to prove to be erroneous?
Yeah, well, first of all, it already was. He said it on Friday.
Well, but as long as it happens, well, I mean, Boomer's going to be forgiven if he signs with Seattle or somebody else.
Well, at this point, I mean, look, don't you think that we would have heard another name, another team out there, if it were going to be the case? Like, there is still that possibility. And if it does, let's say Pete does sign with whoever, pick a team.
Like, well, but didn't hurt. Who had the Reds the other day? Not that that's going to happen,
okay,
but like, just throw them out
there. They've been
was that a Heyman or a Sherman thing?
Somebody had it, but it seemed like they were eliminated too. It seemed like every other possible destination has been eliminated, which makes me think that eventually it is going to happen. But let's say that he does go elsewhere. Like, watching Mets fans be crushed. Oh, no. Now they're going to win what? 88 games? 87 games? Like, I really don't think Pete moves the needle as much. I think this is more of an emotional thing than a baseball thing. And I'm trying to eliminate the emotion as a fan myself, but eliminate it and make it a baseball thing. If it is strictly a baseball thing, there are better alternatives.
What are they?
Well, I gave you Bregman.
I want to hear him again.
I gave you Bregman before.
And disagree. I'm not giving him 6-7 years. There's no way I'm doing that.
You could disagree, but I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
There were better options that were available. And to me, there still are, but there were.
But who now besides Bregman?
No, Bregman is one, and Vlad is clearly another one.
Yeah, but
I also think that forget about even just the better options. Like, it can't just be, well, there are no better options, so date this girl. There are no better options, so take this job. No, I'm not about that. That is a recipe for failure. So even if in the majority of people think that it's the best option for the Mets, it doesn't mean that it's right. I believe Alvarez will have a better year. Nimmo's going to have a better year. They could find that. Vientos a full year. Soto, they could find that production. It's not as sexy, but to me, that sex appeal of bringing back Alonso has already worn off with all the damage that has been done over the last month or so.
See, but I think that you think that this is, I'm blurring my vision through sentiment. Pete Alonso is the best home run hitter on the team, period. Irrefutable, indisputable. There's nobody on the team that hit more home runs than he did last year. And it's a matter of record. It's a matter of fact.
Right.
So the emotional thing, I do think it makes it interesting for a lot of people, but I'm telling you straight up that Alonso at first and Viento at third is a whole hell of a lot better for me, my opinion, than Viento's at first and Beatty, who might be a 4A player.
Well, what about Bregman?
I'm not giving him 6-7 years, Sal.
And again, we're not factoring in.
I can't give him that many years, dude.
I would have, and as a matter of fact, I did say the same thing last year about Vientos. Like, oh, he's not going to be a part, but yet he was. He was a huge part. So who's to say that Beatty or Mauricio can't fill that void? Now, I'm not saying that they will. I don't believe in Beatty.
Why take the chance, though, when you have year one of Soto? Why take that chance? And Lindor's still in his prime? Not forever. You know, if Lindor's 25, I mean, it's still a win-now team. It's a little bit of everything. It's a win maybe tomorrow, but it's also a win-now team, Sal.
Why didn't then, if he's so valuable... And the Mets want him so bad and they need him for the power. Why didn't they go get him when I was saying that they should go give him 4 years, $120 million, make everybody happy months ago?
Because why would they give an extra year and $35 or $40 million more unnecessarily? Because that's stupid.
If anybody does that,
they're an idiot.
No,
why in the world would I give somebody an extra year and $40 million when I could get him for 1 year less and $40 million less and get... Now, you're going to say you're not going to get the same production because you're not going to be happy.
Correct.
But you don't know for a fact that he might still be pissed he didn't get 7 years. Yeah. You don't know that 4 years would have satisfied whatever is bothering him about returning to the Mets.
I'd rather...
You don't know that.
You either want the player or you don't. And if you want the player...
No, you can want a player at a certain price, though.
Okay, well, what's the difference between 3 years and 90 and another year on top of that?
It's 1 year less that as he's aging and he's moving around like a snail. That's the difference.
To me, it's not that big of a deal. I would have valued Pete being back with security longer term and having him happy.
That's ridiculous!
You want to have players or people that work under you or for you or part of an organization that aren't happy to be there?
No, I don't. That is a recipe to fail.
Okay,
however,
and that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, but I also wish that... Giancarlo Stanton, I know he's an October beast. I wish Stanton's contract was up a year earlier. Right. I wish DJ LeMahieu's contract, I wish Hicks's contract was up. Like, to me, the benefit is you get some bang for the buck now, and you also, like, I don't want to have him 4 or 5 years. I don't even really want him for three, but I'll take him for two. And if I got to do three, I'll do it because it's better than none,
in my opinion. Then all that you just said sounds like you don't want the player.
No, I want him at my cost because I realize that, again, I'm not looking at the...
I'm not factoring
Alvarez taking some massive step forward. Now, I'm not saying that he won't, but I'm not so sure that he will. And again, what's the term? Mitigating risk.
Do you think the Mets...
And I'm doing it.
Do you think the... Man, I know the answer to this. I'm going to ask it again. Do you think the Mets really want Pete Alonso back?
Really want this strong? No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't think they really want him.
So with that being said...
I think they want him.
Right. Okay.
Well, at their price, which is what they're going to get.
Fair enough. But they're making a mistake in that they want him at their price. There's a cost to that. And they're going to get a less than happy Pete Alonso coming back.
That's where we disagree.
He doesn't want to be here.
You think there's a cost. And I think there's not. I mean, so, you know, who the hell knows who's right? And by the way, Sal, I'm even going to give you this.
But you agree that they don't...
They're not enamored with
him. So then why do it then?
Because they're better. They're slightly better with him. I'm going to keep coming back to that.
Is it worth it? How much
I think
better?
I think it is.
2-3 games better?
I don't know the answer to that, but I'd rather...
All this fuss about Pete freaking Alonso for what? 2-3 game difference?
It might be 2 games if he hits 34 home runs. If he hits 46 with Soto in front of him, it's not inconceivable that he has a big season.
Right. I mean, he hasn't had one in a while.
But he also hasn't had Soto. He also has that Vientos for a full season.
Right. Was he Daniel Jones now? He needs everything around him?
No. Because Daniel Jones with nothing around him didn't hit 34 home runs. He threw 15 touchdown passes. So whatever the equivalent is, I don't know. Listen, I think that the Mets lineup to me is very incomplete. I don't think that Pete Alonso completes it, but it makes the circle a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I'd bring him back.
Ed is calling from Mohegan. What's up, Ed?
Eddie.
Hey, what do you say, guys?
Hey.
All right, look, I mean, two things. First of all, you know, Vlad Guerrero is going to wind up getting traded midseason. I don't think Toronto is going to compete this year. It's too strong a division. And unless he signs with Toronto, which I doubt, but they're going to wind up trading him. I mean, are you, whether you're the Mets or whoever, are you willing to give up young talent for a guy like that when you could have Pete Alonso? And you know what, Sal? I'd like to hear an answer to BT's question. He asked you right out, who would you bring in? And you said Vlad, and you said Brett. We know that. Answer the question. Who else would you bring in? other than those two guys?
No, nobody.
Vlad's not one of them.
Wait, what do you mean other than? Why do I got to answer the question other than those two guys? Why do I got to give you a laundry list of
BT
players?
Asked you, because BT asked you a question.
I answered Bregman.
And he says not. He didn't answer him. He said he's not going to bring him in for 6 or 7 years, which I completely understand. And then he said Vlad Guerrero. He said, who else is available now that you would bring in? Well, he didn't answer.
No, I did, Ed. I did. I would have brought in Willie Adames. So now what? Now what's your counter to that?
But he's gone now. But he got traded.
Okay, but that's not my problem, Ed. And thank you for the call. You can't ask me to do what I would do under only certain circumstances. I would have done differently. I would have brought in Willie Adames and Juan Soto. They left themselves in a position where they didn't get Adames, they did get Soto, and then other guys were coming off the board. So you can't say, well, now what? And that's kind of my whole point. And by the way, now what? I still gave you two options. Like, you can't say, well, yeah, those two options aren't good enough. Sal, what would you do? I'd go get Vlad Guerrero Jr. Oh, no, you can't do that. Okay, well, then maybe I'd sign Alex Bregman. Oh, no, you can't do that. Wow. So what? I could only get Pete Alonso back? That's it? Okay, then yeah, I guess I'd have Pete Alonso back. And I'll take it even further. I don't even want him back at this point because you're missing the whole point. I think the damage has been done. There was a point where I would have brought Alonso back under the circumstances of saying, well, they've put themselves in a spot, and we've had this exact conversation.
A million times.
There are no better options left. They need another bat to lengthen out that line and protect Soto. Mm-hmm. Just go get Alonso. A lot has happened since then that, in my mind, I value, and it's negative toward bringing Alonso back. I think that damage has been done. Could it be repaired? Maybe. I wouldn't take my chance on it. You talk about it being a Band-Aid, I'd rip the Band-Aid off and say, forget it. We're moving on without him. He wants to go somewhere else. We offered him this 2 years ago. We offered him this now. He's turning them down. We're moving on, which they were willing to do. Mm-hmm. He didn't take another deal because he doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't have a good option out there. But it's certainly not like, oh, I really want to come back to the Mets. Oh, you do? You do? So, no, I don't think under these circumstances, the best thing for Pete or the ball club is to bring him back. I don't know how much more clear I could say it. And just because, well, there are no other options, what are you going to do? Doesn't mean that that's what you do. Doesn't mean that that's the recipe for success. As a matter of fact, I believe the exact opposite. I think it's a recipe for failure.
All right, so I got a question for you. So if the damage is done, and that's a large part of how you shape your opinion here, right? Like, you think the damage is done, you were okay.
Yeah.
But if the damage was truly done, don't you think that he would be on a mission? Hey, Scott, get me 1 year somewhere else. Like, don't you think if he signs with the Mets,
I think he's tried that.
Okay, but just hear me out. Yeah. If he signs with the Mets, while I know he's not enthralled with the deal, I get it, but don't you think that that is just enough evidence that he's maybe in a little bit of a better mental space returning to the Mets than you're making it out to be?
Maybe. I mean, I'm just trying to use a little common sense. I don't know. I haven't talked to Pete. I'm just saying, like, when you say, well, what would you have done? Well, first, I would have gotten better.
No, you gave the options. Yeah, you gave the options.
Right, but also,
he didn't like the options that you gave.
Well, another, I can't help that.
I gave the options. I heard him. Bregman, I don't know how many times.
Willie Adames first, and then my second option behind that would have been Pete back, but a happy Pete back. There's a difference between bringing Pete back and laughing in his face and saying, ha ha, we got you at what we wanted to. You had to come back with tail between your legs versus, hey, we value you as a player. We want you back. We also want you to be happy. What's the number that, and by the way, maybe they still do that. I have no idea. We're assuming that that's not going to be the case. I have no idea. But I want if Pete's going to come back, I want him to be happy and satisfied, not I want a 1 year and an opt out to go prove himself and go through this whole thing again next year. And if it ever takes them out of the mix for Vlad, even now, I'm not talking about in the offseason, then I think it's a big problem.
I mean, the problem is you won't know that now.
Right.
But you're baking it in.
Right.
So, I mean, you're baking it in, so preemptively try to avoid that.
I am assuming that if they bring back Alonso, that they're out of Vlad for now. And I'm assuming that based off of what Cohen has said about where they were at spending. Yeah. It was like, it'd be a tight fit. It's been reported. It'll be a tight fit even to bring back Pete at this point. Christopher's in Orange County. What's up, Chris?
Hey, thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. How's everybody today?
Good. Chris, what's up, Christopher? What's happening, buddy?
Not too much. I work for a former NHL player agent, and I've got to say, I've been listening to everyone bash Boris for the last week or so, and this is not Boris. it's Alonso. This is all Alonso for the money. Most players, when they're free agents or they're looking for an extension, it all goes through the agent. The agent is just sitting there doing what the player wants. I can't believe Alonso painted himself in this situation. And where it started is when he hired Boris, because if the Mets were smart, and I'm not saying they're dumb, but if the Mets were smart, they would have extended Pete last year, knowing that there was a possibility of getting Soto and then getting Guerrero. And I will also add that the worst secret in Major League Baseball is Guerrero will be a Met next year.
Yeah, well, and thank you for the call, Christopher. I felt that once I found out the news that the Mets were moving on from Peter, whatever it was, that, and then they had inquired about Vlad before that, I was thinking, okay, you know what? I underestimated this team, BT. They have bigger thoughts in mind, as they should. I've just become accustomed to less than that for a long time when we're talking about the Mets. But with Steve Cohen, they should have bigger thoughts there. But now it's, okay, you can't just say, well, tickle us a little bit and say, go after Vlad. Now you got to get him. And bringing Pete back just because the best option now and he's got no choice and you can put a Band-Aid on it, that can't then take your eye off the ball as far as going to get Vlad. And I'm talking about even now. You know what I'm saying? I don't want any, if it impacts your pursuit of Vlad even now, then I want no part of
Pete Alonso. Listen, I do understand that, but isn't that counter to all the stuff that we heard about Cohen when he bought the team? I mean, it's not like, if Pete's contract was what some thought it might be 2-3 years ago, and it's 8 years, $312 million, $290, all right. You tell me Cohen can't absorb both? Of course he could.
Yeah, well,
you just have to see if the Mets have the appetite to give up the prospects.
Well, I could say the same thing about Howell, which is why I got on him for the Dodgers, right? It's the same thing. Cohen, yeah, you're right, he could.
But it's not the same thing because Cohen's got more money, and I think Cohen's got more willingness to spend it.
Yeah, well, maybe, but apparently there are lines. I'm not disagreeing with you. Like, yeah, sure, the more the merrier. You got to be realistic at some point. Like, can the Mets go sign Soto and have Lindor and extend Pete and go get Vlad? I mean, anything else? And Nimmo's contract.
What about Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, what about pitch?
Where's Tucker fall? Would you rather have Tucker or Vlad? I'll take Tucker all day.
You know, where's he going to play in the outfield? Can he play center or no? He's more corner.
He's more of a corner guy.
Okay, so he's not playing right with the Mets. So he'd be playing left. You move Nimmo to DH, but you got a pretty expensive DH then in Brandon Nimmo. I don't know if he fits the Mets because of what they just gave to Soto. I think he's probably a much better fit for, like, if you had a bet right now, wouldn't you think Kyle Tucker's going to be a Yankee?
I wouldn't bet on that. I mean, really? I know they're going to really try. I think the Cubs are going to offer him. I mean, the Reds, I don't. I think the Yanks will be at the table. I'm not going to bet that he's going to be a Yankee.
If the Yanks, well,
I don't know.
But he's a player that they want.
I understand that. I think they'll pull out most of the stops. But it's a different, dude, it's a different day. I mean, I've watched this happen a few times now. I don't just blindly say, yeah, Yanks are getting this guy. They don't want to give up Luis Hill for him.
If I had to bet, I would bet that the Yanks get Kyle Tucker. I also, as much as I'd love to see the Mets get him because I think he's a great player, I just don't know if he's a fit, whereas Vlad is clearly
Can
a
he play
fit.
First? And maybe. Then maybe Vladdy a little third.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's definitely more of a corner.
Nimmo
he does
play
run.
First? But, I mean, maybe you move Nimmo to first base.
Now we're getting too
cute. Yeah. I'm
here.
Just saying. Like,
knows?
Well, I mean, in first base, you figure that you could maybe move somebody there. Yank's going to have to do it with Judge eventually.
Yeah.
You know, Soto those days. Yeah.
And then what you could do is, I mean, listen, he very well might be a Yankee.
Point is. Yeah.
And then you could just put Dominguez in center if it works out. Have Judge in right, Dominguez in center, Bellinger at first base next year, Goldschmidt gone, Tucker in left.
Point is, the Mets, you don't want to be taking yourself out of those type of pursuits.
I get that, but you still want to put yourself in a position to be an absolute horse this year.
Yeah, I get it. I guess at the end of the day, with all the factors, I just don't know if Pete is going to be that much of a difference maker.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. We are joined right now by Thomas Dimitroff, former general manager for the Atlanta Falcons. He interviewed for the Jets job. Thomas, BT, Sal Licata here back in New York. We know you're live at Radio Row, joining us via Zoom. Hopefully you can hear us. I'm seeing some hand signals, yeah. Or maybe you can't.
You got us?
You got us? Okay.
I got you guys. It's a little rambunctious here, as you can imagine, on Radio Row. I'm trying to hear you. Make sure I hear you.
Thomas, why haven't you gotten back on the horse, man? I loved you. I grew up a Falcons fan, so I'm very familiar with your work. I was hoping you got the Jets job because I have familiarity there. Why haven't you gotten back in here in the NFL in these last several years? Oh, did we lose him?
Oh, it just froze up there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We'll fix it up.
These Zoom things. All right. Who's got to get on that here?
Not us.
Hoff is out sick.
I couldn't fix it if my life depended on it.
He was fine during the commercial.
Screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at him. Look at his hair, too.
He looks good.
He does look pretty good.
I wish the Jets would have hired him. I'm looking forward to talking to him if we could ever get him back or unfrozen here.
Yeah.
Oh, this is... I hate when this...
Well, I'm really curious, like, Woody's role and how much Rodgers was pushed and what the... You know, what the Jets template was. I mean, I think that somebody else should hire him, too. I'm surprised he's not in the NFL, as you asked. But from a Jets and for our purposes here on The Fan, like, I just want to delve into that interview with the Jets and see what the heck it was all about.
Yeah. I mean, I figure we start light and just see why.
Yeah.
You also don't know, like, we haven't heard anything, but I'd be curious to know why he wasn't even offered the Jets job, or if he was or not, or what happened with that.
So maybe they didn't impress him.
There's a lot to get into there. Do we have Thomas back with us? All right, you guys got to, somebody's got to let us know here. We're flying blind. Dove, can somebody let us know what's going on?
How we doing, boys?
Like, aggressively. Okay, Thomas, can you hear us here?
That's probably not going to work today. Just breathe, buddy.
I got you now again. You guys hear me?
Go. Yeah, we got you, Thomas.
Why did you get the Jets job?
Oh, boy. Just
did you guys, can you hear me?
Yes, oh, you got us, Thomas? Oh, this is a disaster. We got to move on. I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore because I'm about to throw this phone.
I told you Radio Row sucks.
Yeah. Well, we got to be down there to get this. Oh, this is just... I mean...
Hey, Thomas, you there?
No, I think we got to...
Let's disconnect them here, boys. We can't do this much alone. Now I'm going to start getting pissed.
Yeah. Oh, are you there?
Oh.
Yeah. Guys, who is controlling things on that side? Dove? Can you bring the pot down, please, and figure out what is going on and either get a good connection before we bring him back up or just say we got to move on and we'll try to do it again tomorrow? We can't have this for 10 minutes where he's asking us if we're there. We're asking him questions. He's not answering. It's like somebody's got to take control of the situation here. I mean, am I wrong?
You're 100% right.
I'd do it myself if I could. I can't do the show.
I'm just
going to
unplug
the
damn thing. I'm going to stand up and unplug it pretty soon throw it out the window. We're probably going to not. We're not going to be able to do this.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, let's try this again. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We forget the stupid Zoom stuff. We got Thomas Dimitroff on the phone. Thomas, apologize for the technical difficulties there. What happened with the Jets interview? Why didn't you end up getting that job?
Well, I'm not really sure exactly why. What I do know is I went in there thinking that they were interviewing for trying to find an experienced general manager and or head coach combination. Obviously, that's not the direction they went. I thought the interview process went well. Of course, Rick Spielman and Mike Tannenbaum had a lot of work in that, right? I think it was, 20-plus GMs and head coaches being interviewed. There were a lot of people interviewed. And, this is something that – this was the first time I jumped back in after 3 years, put my foot in the water, so to speak, interviewed the Jets as well as Tennessee.
Well, Thomas, was it that you just wanted to get back in the game or you actually viewed the Jets as an appealing destination? What was appealing to you about the Jets?
Look, I think the Jets was a very appealing situation. I would have not jumped back in on that interview if I didn't believe that. There were too many parallels to, in my mind, to Atlanta when I got back in there in 2008 when we went in. I mean, it was coming off of something that was in a tough situation, coming off the Michael Vick debacle, if you all remember. I'm sure you probably do.
Of course.
And we were way down and out as an organization. I love being the fixer. Like, I love being a rebuilder. That's what I take pride in. And, we were able to resurrect twice in Atlanta, one with Mike Smith when we first came off in 2008. And then when Mike was let go, we brought in Dan Quinn. We got to the Super Bowl. That was something that I take a lot of pride in. And I thought that would be a good fit in New York to come in there and be able to help that group in that way. But, of course, look, I'm really happy for Darren Mugey. He's a good young general manager candidate, and I know him well. He knows football. We actually brought him to Atlanta as a free agent. So I've known him a long time. He's a really good football guy. And, of course, Aaron Glenn. I mean, I'm really excited about seeing what he can do there.
Yeah, and listen, that's very classy of you to say. We're talking to Thomas Dimitroff, BT and Sal here on The Fan. But Sal and I both touted you as a candidate that we were really, really, actually we wanted you to get the job early on in the process. And as you know, and as everybody who follows the NFL knows, that it's never quite as simple with the Jets, whether it's ownership, whether it's the losing history, whether it's a salary cap that's a bit out of whack right now. But there's no way you go into that job, you yourself, Thomas Dimitroff, without a firm opinion on whether or not you were prepared to roll it back with Rodgers next year. Talk about the Rodgers stuff. What was your opinion on Rodgers for 2025, and what was their opinion?
Well, let me tell you this. I mean, you guys know this. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks to play in this game. And when I watched the video, and I watched a lot of it, gentlemen, as you can imagine, interviewing for a position like that, this cat can still make plays. He makes balls, throws off camber and off balance, and does some really good things. I think he goes somewhere else. And I think he can be there for another couple of years and win in this league. I do believe it's time for him to move away from New York and get a fresh final start.
So do you think that's why you maybe didn't get the job, because you suggested to move on from Rodgers?
No, I don't think that was it at all. I think they were very open to listening to anything that I had to say. I mean, obviously, with my experience, it's not one of those things that I'm just shooting from the hip, and I don't believe so.
BT and Sal, we're talking with Thomas Dimitroff. Who would you have hired? Because you said that the Jets, my main thing was that I wanted the Jets to hire somebody finally, Thomas, with experience, whether it be the head coach or general manager, which is why I wanted you. And I'm very familiar with your work in Atlanta, being a Falcons fan, so I know everything about you and all the things, that, the positive qualities you bring. And the Jets were maybe looking for that, and then they went away from that. They hired inexperienced all over the place. What do you think happened over the course of the interviews?
Yeah, look, I think about that. I mean, look, I was the first interview to jump into the hopper with them probably almost 5 weeks out from when they made their choice. And, you know, we all know how that is. That can be complicated, right? That's human nature. And I think in the end, I mean, let's call it the way it is. I'm sure Mr. Johnson decided that he had a better connection with Darren in this situation, Muji. And you know, ultimately that's his choice. He can listen to Rick Spielman and Mike Tannenbaum on the advising, because they were part of the search group. And I have a great deal of respect for Jaime Elhai. I think he does a great job there as a president. By the way, there are many presidents out there that you know, people aren't used to working with and maybe don't get along with as much as I think Jaime can do there. So the organization was teed up to be a really good situation for someone to come in there and help them, again, resurrect.
Yeah, but Thomas, I'm confused. I got to go back to something here, because I think it's really one of the most interesting points here. So you said you watched all the film and you watched the tapes in preparation for the interview, and you said that Rodgers could still play. By the way, Sam and I both agree. But then you said that you think he's going to be on a different team and play well for a couple of years. If he still looked good on tape, why would you think he would be on a different team? Was that communicated to you by the Jets?
No, this was my feeling. Look, I am a huge believer in the right energies. I believe that. And not only the right energies, the interaction with the team, the interaction with the staff. I mean, that's a big thing. It just seemed from afar, and what I do know, doing more research on it, that it appeared that this was time for him to get, again, a fresh start and not have to deal with some of what was being twisted around a lot there. So I was more speaking at it from not from necessarily the ability to win a game or a number of games, mm-hmm. but the true energy of an individual in that position. I mean, again, having been around Matt Ryan, we were unbelievably fortunate. By the way, he missed 1.5 games in his 14 years in Atlanta, right? To be around someone like that, that held the locker room in the way he did. I mean, everyone, of course, respects Aaron Rodgers, but there are times when it can get cumbersome in those situations, given personalities. And I thought that it would be the best thing. Again, a fresh start was something that organization needed, in my mind, at least my perception as I was interviewing.
I know we really appreciate that transparency. Thank you. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers, his presence would complicate Aaron Glenn's first year or make it easier?
No, I think it could go either way, of course. I mean, that's something that of course, Aaron Glenn would have to work through his conversations with Aaron Rodgers, which I'm sure they're probably having, right? I mean, in the end, those guys are both tough, hard-nosed, driven football men. And, you know, maybe Aaron goes to the table and spends time with him. I'm sure he probably does do that and tries to see if that is truly a match, energy match, interaction, character match that you need. There's no doubt you need a connection between the head coach and the quarterback, and we saw a little bit where at least it appeared from afar, and I don't know how that was with you know, with Robert and how things worked that way, but if that's not gelling, I think it's you're really, you know, I was going to use an analogy I probably can't use, but that's basically a tough situation.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. We're talking with Thomas Dimitroff, of course, former Atlanta Falcons general manager, had a ton of success down there turning that franchise around, and interviewed for the Jets job. Who would you have hired, Thomas, as a head coach if you did get the job?
Oh, you know what? There were so many guys that I had spoken to. There were a lot of guys that were being considered. You know, just a little bit of inside information. Usually when you're a GM candidate interviewing in today's world, because there is such an important part of making sure there is a mix, the right mix. A lot of the, and I did it, I talked to a lot of the potential head coaches out there, right? So you get on the phone, you spend, you know, three, four conversations with them to really get an idea of, you know, who was out there. I had not concluded, and I'd prefer not to necessarily talk about that because I truly had not concluded who that would have been. Aaron, of course, was one of the guys that I was really purely interested in at a lot of levels because of what he'd bring to the table. There are other guys out there, and there are guys that you guys all reported on. I know that. And there are some you liked and others that you weren't. I mean, whether that was Brian Flores, which was another guy I think can get a second chance and kick some ass, quite honestly. And, you know, I know you guys weren't, I mean, I don't know where you guys were on this, but I mean, Matt Nagy will get another chance in this league and win football games in this league as well.
I was going to say, I wanted either either experience or offense, and you just mentioned a couple of different things there. Would you have valued experience or offense if you're looking for the next head coach?
I would have valued, honestly, the best leader that they could potentially have gotten there. I'm a big believer. It's not just the offensive side. I mean, I think if you get an adept leader there, an adept D coordinator by trade, and they're going to bring in a really solid, smart, driven, acutely focused offensive coordinator, then you can pull it off. I mean, you can't come in there with a light in the pants guy in New York City and a guy that doesn't lead the team, even though he's a really good offensive mind. It's just not, and personally, it doesn't feel like a fit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to be very mindful of that. You guys know that better than anyone. You're around there.
Every day it comes up. Thomas Dimitrov, BT and Sound on the Fan. He's out at New Orleans Super Bowl Radio Row, and he's kind enough to check in, work through those difficulties, which is great. You know, one of the it's because Rodgers is such a big shadow, and Woody Johnson, the story in The Athletic about a month or so ago with some of the situations behind the scenes. I got to tell you, Thomas, one of the things that I don't know that everybody's really calculating on, some of these contract decisions the Jets have to make on whether it's Sauce Gardner, whether it's Garrett Wilson. We're talking $100 million. We're talking maybe Gardner, the highest paid corner. We're talking, you know, Wilson being paid like Jamar Chase and Jefferson. Was that broached and with Woody? And if not, I would be surprised. Like, why not? How much did that stuff come up?
No, those are the kind of things that definitely will come up in the interviews. And anytime you're interviewing for a GM job, you're going to be able to talk through the entire roster and you're going to give your opinions. Unfortunately for us, there were levels of interviews, right? So three-hour interview, you're not getting to all that. That normally, the depth of some of that ends up really taking place in that second interview session.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not fortunate enough to get to that spot.
You know, Thomas, prior to your arrival in Atlanta, and you know this, but just so our audience, and I know this because I'm a fan, but just to educate the audience a little bit, the Atlanta Falcons have never had back-to-back winning seasons. And as you said before, you took over under the most incredibly trying circumstances where the quarterback, the face of the franchise, was thrown into prison, the head coach quit on the team, and you built that thing up immediately, hiring Mike Smith, a no-name head coach, defensive coordinator, drafting Matt Ryan, and obviously the rest is history. But you said something interesting there before that made me think. If you are doing this in New York, because as you know, both the Jets and Giants, we've got two teams here, none of them are worth anything. They've been awful for the last decade plus, and I've been wondering why a guy like you or Mike Smith couldn't come here and maybe turn these franchises around. If you were making hires as a GM for New York, for the Giants or the Jets, would you hire a guy like Mike Smith? Or because of his personality and demeanor, maybe you would think you have to go somewhere else because of the market in New York?
No, I think you have to look at all. I think you have to be very thoughtful in the approach. And you do have to look at the market. I mean, Mike Smith coming into Atlanta, again, what he was he was one of the best defensive minds out there at the time. And he didn't have experience as I did. We were neophytes. So I do believe the neophyte first year thing can totally happen with the right football people, with the right football mind, and the right drive and desire to lead men. And, you know, I think that's a big, big deal. And I think back to the Jets, I mean, they are coming to the table with that with Aaron Glenn, right? It's just, you know, again, I do believe that there is value in the league. And you can talk on and on about this and ask me questions of why you don't think that GMs are getting second chances. The reality is, there needs to be more of that. Not just me speaking. Even when I decide to finally walk away from this league 100%, I think it's great for the league to have a mix of young guys and experienced guys. And I think I think the league knows that. I believe the commissioner knows that. And I just think that's the direction it should always go.
I want to ask you something about the quarterbacks here. And this is more for the Giants than the Jets, but who knows? Maybe the Jets did do something wacky at 7 as well. If you're a general manager and you don't have one of the first two picks, okay, so you don't have direct access to Ward or Sanders, and you're, say, 3-9, do you like these quarterbacks enough to scoot up and make an aggressive draft day trade and try to get one of them? How do you view these quarterbacks?
I think the quarterbacks are talented. I think Cam Ward has a lot of talent. I think Shedeur Sanders does. They have their own styles, of course, and elements that are positives, and then they have other parts that they're going to have to be working on and developing. That said, this is not the same quarterback class as last year. I'm sure most would agree with that. I still do believe that if you're sitting at the top two picks, that takes a lot to jump up there, and it would be ideal. I'm sitting there thinking about Tennessee at number one, and when I interviewed for that job, I thought what a great opportunity that would be to be able to finally trade back. And you guys know that. I mean, I was Trader Thomas. I was always about moving up. I didn't move back that often.
Yep.
But this was one of those situations I daydreamed about, moving back into 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, getting a legit offensive lineman off for that Tennessee team to work off that right side, continue to build for that team. That I think that it would be great. But you're, like you just said and alluded to, you need a partner in that. And I don't know how many teams are going to be moving up to one or two. That's big booty, as you know, trade booty. It would be great to be able to do that. It was funny. I'm walking around here, and there's more and more gathering steam on the Cam Ward thing. So I'll be interested to see if how that plays out. Of course, you know, Shedeur Sanders, because aren't they talking about Shedeur ending up in New York?
That's the buzz. Yeah, it's the buzz. The buzz, Tom.
Well, it'll be interesting again. There is no, at this point, respectfully to that group, there's no Jaden Daniels in this group right now, in my mind. Obviously, Mike or Dan Quinn hit on that one. That's a good situation for he and Adam Peters up in Washington.
Well, since you brought up Dan Quinn, Thomas, I have to mention this. As a Falcon fan, I was heartbroken when you moved on from Mike Smith. I didn't like the hire of Dan Quinn. He did get to a Super Bowl. I flew down there for the playoff games, the championship game. I didn't go to the Super Bowl, thankfully. Are you over? I'm not. Are you over 28-3 yet?
I am always, yes, I'm over it, but
wow.
I swear over it, meaning I'm not, I don't have like the, you know, gut wrenching feeling. What I do is periodically, and I still have a really good relationship with Arthur Blank. We will periodically text each other, re that loss, interestingly enough, as it pertains to other losses and other things that are paralleled. It's interesting. It'll forever be there. And one thing I will say, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, my drive to come back is not about the money. It's not about anything that my drive to have come back and interview. It's to resurrect. It's to build. And it's to win a Super Bowl next time, because I did not get an opportunity to win at the helm as a general manager.
It breaks my heart, Thomas, all kidding aside, because you deserve better. The owner deserved better. Mike Smith, I know Dan Quinn ended up blowing the Super Bowl, but Mike Smith deserved better, and certainly Matt Ryan deserved better than to have that loss hung on him. And as a Falcon fan, I just feel like, what the hell did I deserve? I mean, the Falcons, come on, get out the worst loss in the history of the sport hung on us. But anyway, you did a great job with them. I hope, I was rooting for you to get the Jets job. I hope you get back on the horse here at some point soon, Thomas. Thanks for your time.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for the comments, guys.
Yeah.
Look forward to next time. Thank you.
There you go, Thomas Dimitroff. Glad we were able to work that out, BT. He was fantastic
was
and
good.
Transparent right there. And I would bet, now he didn't say it, but I would bet that a lot of his transparency and blunt honesty turned off the Jets.
With Rodgers.
And I think it's a mistake. I'll leave it
at that. We'll see.
You get that sense,
I like
too? Are you getting that sense, too? I mean, he basically said it flat out. Like, here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
I'd move on from Rodgers. I'm an energy guy.
Like, well, that's why I went back to the question.
I know.
Because he's like, yeah, I watched all the snaps and he can still play. And then the next sentence, he's like, well, I see him playing for a different team. I'm like, well, if the snaps were good, why the hell are you bouncing him?
Yeah, he's...
Remember, when we first heard that name, you obviously know him. He was your guy. I was very into Thomas Dimitroff. That is somebody that I would have hired. Is Muji going to be better? I have no idea, but I've always liked Dimitroff.
It would have certainly been different.
I like him. I mean,
better, who knows, but it would have been different.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT, it's Al back on the Fan. That was fun, BT, talking to Thomas Dimitroff right there, getting some insight as to how it works with the interviews here. Again, we're flying blind with a lot of this stuff, right? Not knowing how the process goes. Are they going to look to hire a head coach first, a GM first? He was, as he said, one of the first to interview for the Jets job. So it's fascinating to get some insight from him and the idea that while he thinks Rodgers could still play, he'd be better off elsewhere.
Yeah, and we also don't know how this stuff goes. Like, I thought it was very interesting when he told us that the conversations about whether it's Sauce or Garrett Wilson's extensions, which for the Jets is paramount. That's, I mean, Rodgers
right.
First, you got to solve that. But that's on the tarmac here. He said that's not really until the second interview thing, so he never really got to get into that. But
right.
I really wonder how whether it's Muji or the other ones who did get that second interview, how they address that stuff. Because once Rodgers is settled one way or the other, those are the two big ticket items for the Jets business-wise.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if Dimitroff getting hired would have maybe had Vrabel here instead. But obviously, it was, you know, kind of set up in New England. But there was a tie there with Dimitroff. That's why I say that. He comes from the New England Belichick tree.
Sure.
So maybe it would have been more appealing. I'm sure that would have been Dimitroff's first choice, much like it was anybody else. But he's a guy who we know. Like, we don't know about Muji. And maybe Muji turns out to be the next Thomas Dimitroff. Maybe he's great here, but just the structure of it as well doesn't seem right. When Dimitroff was hired, when the Falcons were in despair, the owner hired the general manager. He hired Mike Smith. They were working together, but it wasn't like he hired Mike Smith first. They hired Dimitroff, and I was like at the time, oh God, Mike Smith, who the hell is this guy? Like, I want Bill Parcells, Mike Smith. And then I watched his introductory press conference, and a lot of the stuff that he said, I was like, wow. This guy gets it.
Talking about Mike Smith or Mike, okay.
Mike Smith and talked about, and by the way, whatever he talked about really doesn't matter, but the results followed where his teams were some of the more disciplined teams in the league at that time, the least penalized, all those different things, important things. He never had that, like...
charisma.
Yeah, as a head coach, which I don't know, it wouldn't have gone over well. He'd be a guy that in New York we'd chew up and spit out in 2.5 seasons or 3 seasons and move on. And in Atlanta...
Unless he won.
He won there immediately.
Yeah.
But eventually he still got booted, and they bring in Dan Quinn getting to a Super Bowl. So Dimitroff made two hires as a general manager. Both were first-time head coaches.
And two pretty good ones.
And both were pretty successful,
yeah,
relatively
that's true.
Speaking. 100%. I just would have loved to have at least say, okay, well, we know we got this experience. You heard him talk. You tell me you wouldn't trust him to figure it out?
Yeah, I would. That's why I thought the Jets should hire him.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as Dimitroff's name, that was the first one that they interviewed. I'm like, I like it.
Like, if it were Dimitroff, Glenn,
I like it.
You know, I've had some reservations about Glenn. Not just about Glenn. It's about...
the surrounding...
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
First-time coordinator, first-time GM, first-time head coach. If it were first-time head coach with Glenn and even being a defensive guy, but Dimitroff... I'd feel a lot better about the Jets situation.
Yeah, I mean, time's going to tell. I don't know a damn thing about Muji, except just, you know, go look at his resume like everybody else. Who knows? But, sometimes it's, you know, the move that you think that should have happened. Oh, how could you not do this?
Yeah.
Like, it could have failed spectacularly here. Or conversely, you think, what about this guy? Is he going to really work out? It works out. Like Joe Torre with the Yankees and other examples here.
Fun to close out with Dimitroff. We'll get back to, the Super Bowl stuff and all that next week and all that may bring. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. There was a lot of Pete Alonso today. So we had some fun talking about that. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Alex Azarm, who's filling in for Pete Hoffman. Thanks to Gallo helping out as well as usual.
You watching the Johnnies tonight? Are you watching
the Johnnies?
We didn't
get into the Johnnies.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Booty stole my seats. I forgot.
Booty didn't steal the seats. I gave him the seats.
You put the pressure on Hoff and I last time?
Uh-huh.
Booty better not be taking those L's.
Hey, my man is not a mush. Not a mush.
He's not?
I hope not.
He lost twice to us. He lost in the World Series.
Now get out of here with this guy. Come on. Are you going to at least watch the game?
I will watch the game. It's a big one tonight.
It's going to be absolutely. I can't wait to get to the Garden.
Have fun. I'm sorry I forgot to bring that up.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
All right. Anyway, thanks everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you later.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.